This is CliffCentral.com.
Jax Jones with Breathe. Happy song for the end of the week. Yeah, it is the Easter weekend, right? Mm. So tomorrow's Good Friday, and then Sunday we get the holiday, which actually spills over into the Monday. So we technically have a four-day weekend.
Yeah.
It's good. We deserve it.
Sure. Yeah. I don't see anyone complaining.
Take it.
No. Not at all. I'm taking it with open arms.
If you're going to be in Johannesburg this Easter weekend, then you really need to visit Lifestyle Center. I'll tell you why. We've been there before. We've explored the place. Lifestyle Home Garden, which is the anchor tenant in the Lifestyle Garden Center, coming to do our garden here at Cliff Central. Have you heard about this, Mubs?
Really?
Mm-hmm. They've already drawn up the designs, and they're actually coming to do it. I think it's next week they're starting to put them in. And it really does look incredible. Lifestyle Home Garden have a massive, unbelievable, unparalleled variety of all your home and garden product needs. Everything that you can think of, everything to help you express your individual style. They really do have it all under one roof. We're going to have a beautiful entrance and an indoor garden here at Cliff Central. Mm. Like radio and everything else, the traditional understanding of how gardening has evolved has changed. So homes and gardens are changing. Many people may not have outdoor space for gardens, but there are many products available to turn a part of your house into an indoor garden. I can't wait for our garden because, you know, I often complain about how this place, there are things about it. I like my surroundings to be perfect.
And also just kind of
never going to be
quite nice and real. Yeah.
Well, that's it. They're never going to be perfect, but listen, a little bit of plant life. We've discussed the pros of this. It's better for the air. It's better for people communicating with each other. It helps the mood. Psychologically, it has positive influences, all that kind of thing. So home and gardens are changing, and a lot of people want to talk about indoor gardens. Having living greenery around instead of that fake plant that we have in the corner of this room.
But belief has fared us well, too.
It may even cheer Ben up, you know? Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like plants.
Yeah, exactly.
I've made this perfectly known to you guys. I've even taken the kale from the pots upstairs. I put it downstairs in the wild, and it's growing brilliantly.
Oh, nice.
But other plants,
that was the kale that wasn't doing so well.
Yeah.
You've resuscitated it.
And I've got other plants upstairs. It's going so well. And every day I like watering them.
Okay. See, you're developing a relationship with the plants like you did with meowses.
Yeah.
You didn't want a cat, and now you got a cat. And you didn't want plants, and now you got plants.
Wow.
Life is better, Ben. These are your children.
Happy with that.
Starting next month, Lifestyle Home Garden will be here to give us weekly tips, gardening hacks, and nuggets of info so that your garden, whether it's inside or outside, can flourish. That's Lifestyle Home Garden. They're the anchor tenant at Lifestyle Garden Center. That's the corner of Bayers Nordea Drive and Aceroad Avenue in Rand Park Ridge, Randburg. If you want to find out more, go and visit them this weekend or go to lifestyle.co.za. Choose your lifestyle with Lifestyle Home Garden. Everything there. Everything. Mm. Bonsais. Did I tell you about the Tree of Life bonsai that I saw there?
Tree of Life?
Mm-mm.
I put it on my Instagram. It's a bonsai that's about 20 years old.
Shucks.
And it's got this ground cover all over its roots. It's got like tendrils hanging down. It looks like that tree from Avatar.
Oh, this is so cool.
Yeah.
The world's biggest grossing movie of all time.
Uh-huh.
At 20 years old, doesn't it make it an infant? Because trees live for eons.
Yeah,
I think that tree's as old as Sia.
And it's only just getting started, much like Sia.
Go and look
there
at it.
There you go, Ben.
Go to Lifestyle just to see that tree. All right. Justice Malala coming in with the Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's next. Do you want to throw in some news before he comes in, Mubs?
Okay, let's do it. So it's all about class action suits, apparently.
Mm. All right.
Because these may be useful in countries such as our own, where the majority of the population is poor and would not be able to otherwise afford costs associated with litigation. Now, this is the view of the Helen Suzman Foundation, because there is a class action suit in the works following deaths and illnesses linked to the recent listeriosis outbreak. Ooh. In which over 180 people have died. Richard Spur attorneys indicated this month that they have teamed up with an American law firm, it's Motley Rice LLC, and they are launching a class action against Tiger Brands.
They're called Motley Rice LLC?
Motley Rice LLC.
Oh my God, that's funny.
So one of the Tiger Brands is, of course, one of the companies that government fingered for the blame of the listeriosis deaths. So this South African law firm is teaming up with an American law firm, and they're bringing this class action suit against Tiger Brands. The two firms have called on claimants who suffered loss or harm due to the outbreak to form a class action suit. And apparently it's been gaining traction because there's nearly 1,000 parties that have come forward to join this class action.
Oof. Get ready, Tiger Brands.
Get ready, Tiger Brands.
They're coming for you.
Yeah, so the foundation said, this is now the Helen Suzman Foundation, they said that in an environment where the Consumer Protection Act should afford South Africans extensive consumer protection, many people are still unaware of their rights, especially in terms of receiving fair value, good quality, and safety. And that is part of the reason why this class action is being brought against Tiger Brands.
Can I go and grab a polony and rub it on the ground or something? Try and get myself listeriosis and trying to get some money.
I don't think you get listeriosis from rubbing stuff on the ground.
Well, I don't. Where can I must I rub it on the toilet floor?
I don't actually know.
You must consume it.
I've got to pick up the listeriosis somewhere, right? Or do you think it's already included in the polony?
Well, I mean, remember they shut down two factories that were producing the stuff because they said that they tested these factories and that's where they found the listeriosis. So I don't know.
Every time I go into my local supermarket, I look at the processed meat section and you get like
you look at that suspiciously.
I do, because you get like these, what can it be described as, just units of disgusting. But you know, you get chicken polony.
Yes.
You get bell pepper infused polony.
You get all types of polony.
You get something called...
I have no idea.
You get something called a chicken loaf, which comes in a tin.
I don't know that one.
A loaf.
A loaf of... I mean, you know you get meat loaf, right? But a chicken processed... Because you know that's just chicken trotters. That's just chicken trotters and old rubber gloves. There's no breast or thigh or wing in there. It's the skin... It's the trotters.
But have you noticed how some of the supermarkets then had to put up these posters or these signs to just appease their customers to say, in this store, please be assured that there are no fears of listeriosis contamination with any of our products. I noticed that with a lot of the supermarkets, like they had to put those signs up.
How embarrassing.
But even something as fancy as Woolworths had to then put signs up saying, because they have a variety of cold meats, but even like the fancy pants, like Parma ham, all that kind of stuff.
Oof. Yeah.
Some things were taken off out of suspicion, and they were upfront about it.
Yeah. So look, a lot of people are going to be keeping their eye on this class action suit.
I wonder how much money there is in this. I wonder how many millions they'd have to hand over if,
180 deaths.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Shucks.
That's terrible. Actually, it's outrageous, really. You think about it. We get very upset. We got very upset, rightly, about Marikana. We get very upset about Life Estimeni.
Mm.
Those are less people than have been killed by listeriosis. Someone's got to be responsible.
And these are just people looking to have a meal on a day-to-day basis.
Right, and they're not aiming high here. They're going for polony because it's probably all they could afford.
Yeah.
At least they could do is not have some deadly disease in there. Oh, man, it's horrible. Ugh. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of jokes about polony, you know. But Jesus, think about it this way. It's not so funny.
All right. And then the Lizard King is making new promises.
The Lizard King.
Well, it's rubbed off on me, Sia. Between these two, Gareth and Ben, it's like...
And the world.
Can't resist it.
Yes, tell us about Mark Zuckerberg.
No, Facebook say that they're now going to be giving you, as their user, more control over your personal information. Sure, Zuckerberg, whatever you say.
I have taken Facebook off my phone.
Ah.
Oh.
Summon a bitch. You're not going to be able to follow me around anymore.
That's exactly how he's been laughing all of these years when he had info on us.
But he's still getting you through WhatsApp.
Did you see those brilliant memes that have been going around about him?
Where he's got green skin and reptile eyes.
Yeah, like but where the bailiff of the Senate says to him, raise your right hand. Do you swear? Because you know he's going to testify before Congress.
Yes.
Raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth? And he gets interrupted. And Zuckerberg goes with a big fake smile. So that's a great question. And it's something everyone at Facebook is really passionate about.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
Typical.
So, of course, this move comes in the wake of the scandal over a breach that exposed the personal information of 50 million Facebook users and was allegedly used by a political consultancy during the Trump campaign. So Facebook say that they're now going to be giving their users more control over their privacy by making data management easier. They're apparently also going to be redesigning the settings menu. So look out for that. Facebook also said that it would propose in the coming weeks updates to the social media website's terms of service and data policy to better spell out information it collects and how it uses it.
Yeah, like obviously we're all vilifying Facebook. You know what Google's got on you? Much more. Yeah. Google's got everything on
Listen.
You.
Listen. Yeah.
If you want to murder someone, you have to just phone up Google. I don't know if they've got a line for this, but I mean, just hypothetically speaking, they can say, right, the so-and-so is here right now with this person, because they can work out, if you work out everything from Google Maps to your email, whatever it is, they know exactly everything. They know every single thing you've searched, even if you tried to delete it, whatever. They've got it.
Yeah, Google.
Everything you bought, everything, like everything.
I don't know how they work this out, because you don't really navigate through your phone this way. But Google now actually knows my address. And yes, I get that that's where my location is, for example, that's where my phone is largely in time, but they now have labeled my home as my home and my work address as my work address.
Yeah, without you saying that.
I didn't say it. That's creepy.
No, but they're tracking you through the phone. That's precisely it.
I think
our phones are tracking devices.
I was researching some sort of takeout menu. They were like, would you like this delivered at home or at work? I was like, okay.
You know Google's doing well.
I don't like
that. If Google can actually recommend something for you to eat, then that's gone too far.
Shut up.
If they know
they've
that.
They've done deep dive big data if they can get Sears likes.
They take what I've Googled, they take my maps and where I've gone. Oh, weird. Yeah.
And that is why the U.S. Congress has asked Zuckerberg and also the CEOs of Google and Twitter, they want all of them to come in and give testimony at this thing because they're holding all of them equally accountable. So...
Let's hope they make him squirm a little bit.
I'm just nervous about the fact, and I totally forgot about this, that Zuckerberg owns WhatsApp.
Yeah, he owns WhatsApp, WhatsApp's and Facebook, and Instagram.
If we really break it down, I've got nothing to share on Facebook that I'm ashamed of, because I don't use that often. Same with Google, really, but WhatsApp.
Oh, there's going to be,
What?
Yeah, all of us have stuff on WhatsApp, right?
I mean, WhatsApp is where we're at our most human, let's be honest.
You have a group, you have a family group, so you post a whole lot of stuff on there. You have your friends groups, you have groups of people who you send revolting jokes to inappropriate memes and...
You have your mistresses and your fuckboys.
Exactly, you've got your fuckboy group.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Who doesn't have a fuckboy group, you know?
Of course.
I mean, in this day and age, what's wrong with you?
Right.
The only incriminating things we have on Facebook are when Facebook first started and we had horrible spelling and we thought that was cool to text in a certain way.
That's just
about it. You know?
I mean, the last video that was sent to me...
Oh, Mabale Moloi,
what? Yesterday at 20 to 10, it's like a video of a couple having sex in that sex chair. And this guy is saying to me, this chair is needed.
Yeah, he's got a point.
But I mean...
It's hard to find those things, though.
Okay, I just have
a
to
sex
say
swing.
That is not what I have.
Okay.
I just have quotes from my uncle
I think if my phone was found by people in 1865... They would have...
Their heads would have
They would have been like mass suicides.
No, they would have killed you. They would have burnt you at the stake.
If they just found my phone, people would have... Like, a shrine would have been built. Things would have... The world would have changed if they just went through my WhatsApp messages.
Yeah, sure. WhatsApp.
Yeah, so Zuckerberg has that as well.
He does.
Yeah, so let's not get too upset about the fact that Facebook knows when our matric dances were or whatever other crap.
Yeah, we don't care about memories.
When he starts sniffing around
much.
Our WhatsApp groups.
Yeah, that's when we really expose ourselves.
Well, that's why you're stopping before then.
Yeah, I feel like this is definitely a tipping point. And if they are not careful with how they react to this, once you lose people's trust, like, you're done.
Anyway, I do have a lot of people who keep asking me, like, why would you have a problem with this? You volunteered to be a part of Facebook. You volunteered to be on WhatsApp. But really, everyone on Earth is using those things now. It's not even a volunteer thing. I don't put a lot of personal information and private information on the internet. I really don't. But he's not just stopping with the stuff that you volunteer.
Mm.
Like Sia said, Google has now worked out where his home is and where his work is. He's never given that information to them and said, type in, here's my home address. Never done that.
But here's a hypothetical. What if people know something about you medically and then these insurance companies are then finding out stuff about you? Jeepers, Justin.
What the hell's going on here?
Wow! A box of tricks.
Justin just gave me a liter of gin. I guess I'll make this point some other time then. Thank you, Justice.
It's Justice feeling,
gin.
It's Justice feeling.
Mr. Malala.
Guilty about this. Something.
I just got vodka.
We all got a bottle of something. We all got a bottle.
Oh, Mabali's the winner. She got Glenmorangie.
No. Oh, happy day.
I'm very appreciative of this.
Wow. Ben is holding the biggest bottle of gin I've ever seen.
I got a liter of Senbo's handcrafted.
That is as big as your head. What is...
Justice, this is amazing.
Is this what they gave you in return for going to Cape Town with some water?
I mean, what is this all about?
What's the special occasion?
I'm just happy today.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Remind
Mr.
us to
Malala.
Hang around you for every other time you're happy. This is a hell of a lot of presents.
Vodka and gin.
How are you, Justice?
All good. How are you guys?
Good. We have lots to talk about this morning. Do you want to get straight into it, or
I'm
you want to catch
that
your breath?
We have several jobs, you guys, going on.
I know we do. We have lots to do. But we were just wrapping up a discussion here around what you put on WhatsApp and what you put on Google and how much Mark Zuckerberg knows about you on Facebook.
Ooh, that whole story with the UK company.
Yeah, Cambridge Analytica.
You know, and the thing is, it's such a global phenomenon. It's all of us.
Well, they don't know anything about you, because some people in South Africa don't know everything about you.
There's so much that people don't know about me.
All right, it's time for The Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. Every week we catch up with Justice Malala, and we find out what his take is on some of the most important issues of the week. And we have a whole agenda for you this morning. So let's get straight into it. We usually rate these stories in Nando's terms. So we start with the lemon and herb, mm-hmm. Then we go to the mild, then we go to the hot, then we go to the very hot. So I think the very hot this week is that the National Assembly has developed and adopted a political party funding bill. Now, this is very interesting. I don't know how this got as far as it did, because you would think the political parties would have wanted to keep their funding as secret as possible.
Yeah, no, it's all go. You know, this... For years and years, you know, it's been amazing on Twitter, huh? On Twitter, Twitter's amazing. It's fantastic. But one of the things about social media and so forth is that, so this week, you might have noticed it here, I had a bit of a Barney.
You were having a serious argument with Julius Malema.
Trending at number 19.
He called me a clown.
He called you a clown, yeah. Julius Malema called you a clown.
That's fantastic. Oh. So one of the things that happens is that people start, you know, responding, people jump in, and, you know, it's a mess. But one of the things that people did, someone sent a picture of Julius Malema sitting with Mikey Schultz and
Mazzotti.
And Mazzotti, who's alleged to be funding him and so forth. Now, Mazzotti's a tobacco guy and so forth and so forth. But all these stories start doing the rounds that you see that he's with this guy and so forth and so forth. And the big question is, well, if Mazzotti's funding the EFF and Julius Malema, why is he doing it? Out of the goodness of his heart, is Julius a good guy? And maybe he is, and so forth and so forth. But same thing with, did Mazoti give some money to the Nkosazana campaign to run against Cyril Ramaphosa up to December last year? Or who's funding the DA, and why do they stand for certain things and not stand for certain things?
And we don't know, because it's a shadowy world.
It's a shadowy world.
And one individual, if they're worth a lot of money, could decide the direction policy-wise of a whole party.
You know, I could bang the EFF a bit of cash, give the DA a bit of cash, and suddenly when the policy legislation comes to parliament, everyone says, no, it don't happen, because, you know, I've prepared them that, no, maybe this tobacco legislation, or maybe that, da, 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 and so forth and so forth.
Right.
And nothing happens.
So usually, I mean, even in America, they deal with this. They're lobbyists, and they're powerful lobbies, like the gun lobby or the tobacco lobby.
Exactly.
And these guys do. They fund the parties, and then the representatives vote in their favor when it comes to certain bills.
Yeah. So this one, it's been a long time coming. And it's been a long time coming because the ANC has always said, no, let's not do it. The DA has always said, yeah, no, I understand where the ANC is coming from. So actually you had a cabal in parliament of political parties, all the big political parties, saying, no, I don't want people to know that, you know, Mabale is funding my political party, or Gareth is funding. And so they ganged up. It never went anywhere. The ANC seems to have started, have a change of heart a bit.
Well, aren't they, first of all, bankrupt?
Well,
isn't that part of the problem?
The ANC goes bankrupt and then makes a bit of money and then goes bankrupt. It depends on when an election year comes along. So in 2016, they went bankrupt. They seem to have a bit of money because there are some murmurings that the ANC wants to have an early election. Oh. So you know, you don't start talking about an early election if you don't have money to fund that early election. Anyway, so the ANC sort of had a change of heart. The DA has agreed to it. It was interesting for me. It was the EFF in this instance saying, and they objected to this bill, objected particularly to a clause, I think it was Section 10, that said that, no, you can't just give me money. They said, but we want guys to be able to just give us money. And the clause says you've got to give it only for political purposes. Not, you can't just say, here's a little gift and that's it. It's got to be straight up like that.
So you're telling me the only party that had a problem with this was the EFF?
Yeah. No, the DA said, I can't remember who the MP was, said, I've been raising money for the DA for 20 years. Only one person asked me for a favor and I asked them to get lost. You sat there and said, and then they said, but we agree with it. You can go ahead. I must say, these funders are quite something. Yeah? The ones, the DA ones, they didn't ask for anything. Anyway. So the EFF was the only one which objected, but it passed and is going to the NCOP. Mm-hmm. And after that, it will go to the president and he should sign it into law.
Well, let's celebrate. This is good for everybody.
This is good for the
transparency.
Right? It's very, very good. You won't sit there not knowing why a political leader is suddenly taking on a position. Is it because they've been given a little something? Or is it because they actually believe in that policy? And so that's great.
You mentioned your fight with Julius on Twitter, which you didn't start. You just wrote an article about the EFF and the way that they're behaving and kind of whether that fits into democratic style of political toing and froing.
Mm.
But you had to take a lot of other criticism from other people on Twitter, and he's obviously taken a lot of criticism as a result. But you haven't spoken to him at all this week, have you?
No, I haven't. I mean,
Do you take any of this personally when he calls you a clown?
Oh, no, I don't. I sometimes I sit there with frustration because, you know, Julius is such a good, an amazing raconteur, an incredible speaker. And so you take yesterday, for example, he stands up in PE. And gives this amazing long speech. But he is so full of contradictions. So he speaks about Jacob Zuma in KwaZulu-Natal. And he says, Cyril is not a leader. Look at Jacob Zuma. He arrives in KwaZulu-Natal and he can't move. People are around him. He says, you see, a leader attracts people. And he says, Cyril is that. This is the same guy who just a few weeks ago was saying, oh, Zuma must go. He's this, he's that, and so
yeah,
forth.
But he was also the guy who said he'd die for Zuma.
Exactly. So he's a mass of contradictions.
Sorry, not die. He would kill.
Kill for Zuma. Yeah. So he's a mass of contradictions. And I look at it and I think, ah, well, it's part of it. I mean, for me, it's what's dangerous is this. Is whether he actually understands the power he wields, the influence he wields over his supporters, and how so many of them are prepared to go a little further. So you take the EFF ground forces in Soweto, and they'll send you a video saying, oh, Sizo Gubulala, we'll do this. No, and it's what's going on? But I'm also interested in, you know, Julius Malema goes after people. So he'll say, Justice Malala is a pseudo-intellectual, Prince Mashele is whatever he is. And then he will say, Firial Hafeji, she earns two salaries. When it's a woman, it's always a little bit more
personal,
misogynistic. You know, it's, oh, Karen Moon is a woman, why is she earning whatever she's earning at where she's moved to Times Live?
Yeah.
Why is Ranjini Munisami being paid more than $1 million for whatever she's writing? And you know, when it's women, it has an edge to it, which I find very, very disturbing. And I think he needs to be called out on that. I think one of the things that does make Julius Malema very, that brands him and puts him in that fascist corner, is that there is no other view, there is no other opinion, there is no other assessment of what he's doing except for what he says he's doing. So if anyone stands up against him, they're out. If anyone in the public space, in the media, stands up against him, then it's, you are either working for the whites or for the this or for the that.
And even in his own party, they've got a huge turnover of MPs in there. They've got like 60% of them have been replaced from when they took their seats. So
yeah.
If you disagree with him in the party, you're also out.
You're also out. And Dalimpofu says, no, we are rotating our young leaders. You know, we've got leaders, we want to give them experience.
The EFF is Julius Malema, and Julius Malema is the EFF.
And I think that's something to reflect on for that party. So it's a, you know, I don't think he's going to stop. I think he's going to continue. But for me, what lies behind it? One thing is Jacob Zuma is gone. And Jacob Zuma gone leaves a major, massive hole in the ability of the EFF to mobilize. And so you need to grow new enemies, new targets. You could do it by focusing on poverty, on the land issue, which is doing quite well in some instances. But you need a message. You need a message of change. But I don't think he's quite managed to find what that is. And so he's panicking. He's running around trying to find an enemy. And so it's the media. I mean, the speech last night, he went at ENCA for, you know, well over 10 minutes. And it's, what's this about?
But maybe he's learned some of this from Donald Trump.
Look, I mean, a populist platform is not a bad thing. He's learned some of it from Donald Trump, and Donald Trump has made it.
Because Donald Trump goes on these rants about CNN.
It's CNN, New York Times.
It's like straight out of the playbook.
Yeah, and this is what it is. And I just hope that no one, you know, I thought he moderated his language actually last night when he said, no, we'll take them on, it's a battle of ideas and so forth and so forth. Well, great and good. Let's have that battle of ideas. I'm very happy to have
what
that.
He means is, if you don't like my idea, we'll harass you.
We'll harass you. And that's a big problem.
All right. So what's going to happen in Nelson Mandela Bay today? Because today's D-Day for Ethel Trollope, isn't it?
Yes. It starts at 8 o'clock. The EFF has put a motion forward saying, The DA and Athol Tollip, Athol Tollip needs to leave the mayoral office. Julius Malema and the EFF have been very, very vocal about this. This is their thing. They're going to get rid of, as he said to Athol Tollip, to cut the throat of whiteness in Nelson Mandela Bay. You know, and it's what exactly is going on here? What do you want to do? But anyway, that act is to remove Athol Tollip. There's a fly in the ointment for Julius Malema, and that fly in the ointment is that the AIC, which is that little small party that had black, green, gold like the
ANC. Yeah, they called themselves one letter different.
AIC. Yeah. They if you're an old geezer like me and you arrive in the ballot ballot box and you look and you say, I want my ANC, and they appear right there. You could have put your ex right next to AIC. So the AIC has one thing. It doesn't care about poverty or whatever. It wants Matatiele to fall into what? The Eastern Cape? The KZN. That's their issue. They don't want anything else. So they then...
That's all they want.
That's their whole reason for existing.
That's their whole reason. When that's done, that's done. Thanks, bye, we're good.
They'll disband and go home.
So what they've done, so you take Mzwandile Masina in Ekurhuleni. He survives because AIC is in there with him. If AIC says, Baba, you... So they up to December, they'd been talking to Gwede Mantashe saying, Matatiele, solve Matatiele. If you solve Matatiele, we'll give you our support in Rustenburg, we'll give you our support in Ekurhuleni, and so forth and so forth. The ANC keeps on saying, we're doing it. And then the ANC in the Eastern Cape says, no, we're not letting these people go now. And then it stalls. So overnight, the guys from AIC said, you see, ANC, you want us to vote with you and EFF and UDM and take Tollip out. But what about Matatiele now? So the ANC is flapping about. No, we'll solve it. Come with us. We'll solve it. They say, nah. You know what? We're going to go with the DA on this one.
Mm.
So you now have a situation where Gayton McKenzie's Patriotic Alliance, the AIC, are saying, why should we be used by the ANC and the DA and the EFF to get rid of this guy? Actually, we're okay with Athol Tollip. So when the vote comes through, council starts at 8 o'clock. You may find that actually Julius Malema doesn't win it. And that meeting he had, that rally he had yesterday in the evening, was straight after he'd met with the ANC. But he didn't arrive and said, guys, the ANC says, yes, we're doing this. We are with them. We're giving them the support and we're going to vote together. And it's going to... The ANC seems divided as well. That do we want to come to power via these guys who could any minute, given Julius's preponderance for changing his mind, are we going to allow him to hold power over us like this and then drop us in 3 months or 5 months?
What would the political capital cost be for Julius if he doesn't pull this off? Because this is his... I mean, they made it... Maybe it was a bad calculation on his part, but he really threw everything at this. If this doesn't work, it kind of cuts him off at the knees.
It's been song and dance about this for months. Yeah. And suddenly he goes in there and he loses. You could see already yesterday he was saying, oh no, even if we don't win it, we'll keep on going for Athol
Tollip. And this one, it has a very personal and very racist kind of undertone as well, which doesn't help. So if he loses on this basis...
If he loses this one, particularly the racial element to it. So he says that he doesn't hate white people. He loves black people, and that's great for him. But when it comes to Athol Tollip, you'll remember the tweet that he posted in which he said, it's so nice that it's a black child. I can't remember the exact word, but that it's so nice that it's a black child telling you what to do, and I think he said, you're going out, white man. Mm-hmm. You know, so the racial tinge to this has been huge. And it will be quite something if he lost, if he didn't get it, because all that bravado, all that bluster, all that racial incitement even will have come to naught. And you know, he'll have to maybe be a little bit more humble than he's been in the past. But his run, I think one of the things he did was to speak speak a lot, say a lot of stuff without having done the work properly. When it's Gayton McKenzie's party and the AIC that hold the whip hand and you haven't got them on board, I think...
Well, there's no love lost there.
There's no love lost there, but that I think that he's on very thin ground.
Well, while we're talking about racists, let's talk about Vicky Momberg and your thoughts on her sentencing for using the K word 48 times. Yeah. Can you imagine being the poor, unfortunate person who had to sit through that tirade and count the number of K words?
Oh no, it's just.
And she was completely unrepentant right to the end. Huh?
Right to the end. But I think the important thing here is that for the first time in South Africa, someone has been sentenced to jail time for racial insults like this. And I think that's a good thing. For so long, people have felt frustrated that they can't. Is, you know, you go and get a little fine here, it's a slap on the wrist. And if we're serious about this, we need to put some meat to this thing. So I thought the magistrate was very good. I thought that given the lack of reflection by this person on what she was doing, these were good people. The cops arrive. These are good people. You know, they might be incompetent. There might be all sorts of things. They are good people. They come to help. There's been a smash and grab.
They have to be abused like this.
They have to be abused like this. Then a social worker sits down with her to...
Oh, yeah, this is a part I forgot. She was then abusive with the social worker.
So with a social worker. I mean, that word you used, the lack of repentance, the lack of... You know, I mean, this.
Well,
is...
she's a. We used to call people like this assholes. She's just a total asshole. She's got malice aforethought in every engagement she has with a black person, and there's obviously some kind of psychological problem here. But I am concerned. I'm only concerned from the point of view that we've set a dangerous precedent where someone, if they interpret the courts, and the courts are always open to interpretation, but if they interpret Justice Malala or Gareth Cliff or Ben or Mabali or Sia as having said something that's offensive and incendiary, which you shouldn't really be jailed for that. I mean, this is there's a whole different level of abuse going on here, and I understand why people want to see this woman put in jail. I want to see her taken out of society in as many ways as possible too. But it does worry me that when you give this power...
Yes.
It can be, you know, now suddenly we're going to have everybody on the right saying, well, shouldn't Julius be taken to court for every utterance he's made? And I would rather know where these people are. I would rather have them speak freely in society so we know who our enemies are.
I agree. I think...
Jail?
I think jail. I'll tell you why. I think, yes, we have to interpret the laws in certain ways. But I think we know... when someone uses that word, what they mean. I think that there is absolutely no reason to use it. Then you say, and this has been a response that I've had several times since yesterday, and it's what about Julius? And I mean, the quote earlier, we spoke about Julius and, you know, cutting the throat of whiteness comes up and so forth. Now, I think every case should be looked at on its merits. I think that Julius has actually been in court once already for speechifying of this nature. But I think in the case of Vicky Momberg, the facts are so clear. They take a word that all of us know from our history. It's absolutely, there is no charged question about it. But you and I, think, are in the same WhatsApp groups. Yeah, in the same WhatsApp group. On what? Where do you stop? And where do you stop is when the powers that be, or the powers that could be, let's say Mangosuthu Buthelezi wins the election and becomes president of South Africa, does he then use this judgment to go after Gareth Cliff, because Gareth Cliff said, oh, you know, I think that
hereditary monarchy is a problem.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Or this cabinet is full of morons, or so forth.
You know, this is again, and I mean, it reminds me of that Penny Sparrow issue that we had 2 years ago. And this is a nobody. I mean, she should be a nobody, and she shouldn't be. She doesn't hold political power. Of course, she is representative of a class of people who think a certain way, and that's massively, massively difficult for our country to just push aside and ignore. But this is not a person who wields the sort of influence that a political leader might.
No.
And if we had this judgment in favor of the people, but against someone who was wielding political power, I think it would have spoken about how you shouldn't be able to abuse the public confidence. It would have been about how you shouldn't. There are certain standards for behavior.
Yes, I mean, I think we can have those conversations about, say, Julius Malema or someone else. But I think you'd agree with me, Gareth. Here you have an individual whose transgression is very specific, and I would be cautious of using her or her case as an example of overreach, even of our laws. I think her case is so specifically horrendous, and her sentence is specifically harsh, and I think the two match each other. And what would be a danger, and what is dangerous, is when people take that and say, Julius, you did this, and then we are going to go after you on the basis of this. I think that's where checks and balances on our democracy, this is where the institutions become important. Because right now, you and I could be, if Sean Abraham stays in office, you and I are open to being charged using this as an that if she went to jail for this, why are you allowing Gareth Cliff to say, but you know, people can say walla 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 walla.
We've both said things about the former president.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is where it's very easy to tip over into that fear that you express. And I don't know. You know, I don't want to make Vicky Momberg is not who we are. It's not who the majority of South Africans are. It's not what the majority of white people are. She is Vicky Momberg, and she should go down for what she did and said and the hurt she has caused. And so what we need to be careful is to keep it that way and not become a country that's now going to go out and I'm gonna check under Mabale's bed, is there a racist under here, and they must get 2 years. Because once you go that way, you're in.
But you're speaking as someone reasonable. There are a lot of unreasonable people in the world who will use these kinds of situations to lionize her as a kind of a hero for them, yeah. on one side. Yeah. Here's an honest woman. You can imagine people.
Yeah. No,
racist
already.
Saying that. You can also imagine the other side, people saying, right, this is open season now, and everyone who disagrees with me, I'm going to go out and find reasons to have these people convicted.
Yeah, and I think that's where...
Yeah, essentially that's Orwell's thought crime stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, here she was very open about her racism, which I got to say is refreshing in a world where there's so much euphemism and in a world where so many people, and by no means am I saying I like it, but in a world where everybody has to look for the indirect racism, this woman is like an open racist, and we haven't seen one of those for a long time. Right? Do we know what we're dealing with?
I think we've got an idea, but at least yes, and we can. That is what's good. You can then sentence on the basis of what you have in front of you.
Well, I mean,
the evidence there. I mean, it's all there. It's like it's.
I mean, here are two people who neither of whom I have a lot of respect or time for. All right, David Bullard and Andile. Listen to this interchange between the two of them, because it's to me it illustrates the point very nicely. Mm. Bullard says, off to lunch today on a stolen land wine farm with fellow white land thieves, and we'll be served by cheerful and efficient black slaves who seem to enjoy their work and earn a good tip. That's reality. So obviously offensive and revolting, as you'd expect.
And then
Andile replies, that's why I like you, Mdavo. You are my kind of racist, not the fucking bleeding heart liberals like Jeremy Cronin and Derek Hanekom. They believe what you believe, only they think we don't know. They really think blacks are doerse. We need more whites like you. You see, are the real racists. Look at what we're dealing with. Oh. But those are the people in the extremes. Let's just remind ourselves the world is not filled with those people and with Vicky Mombergs.
I was having such a good morning.
Now, what's the real occasion for the spoil of Ben's liter of gin? My Inverush. This is very, very fancy.
That's very fancy.
Mub's got a bottle of very fine single malt whiskey.
A liter of gin. Like 750 is like I like you, but a liter, Justice, this is the next level.
Go big or go home, son. That's what I thought. No, I just thought, you know, guys, Ace Mahashule is finally leaving the Free State.
Oh, okay. Is that the reason?
That's the reason. And I thought, you know, he invited people. He put aside 20 million rand and told civil servants in the Free State, take the day off. In fact, don't take the day off. 9 o'clock, check into your desk and then get on a bus and come to, what was the name of the stadium? Come to the stadium and let's go for it. We're going to have a party. And
20 million rand farewell.
20 million rand farewell. Now, I don't know how many people turned up. I saw pictures of the stadium. It looked empty to me. But what was fascinating for me is that you got, you know, those polystyrene takeaway thingies, boxes, and you got two kind of hot dog rolls.
Please say they weren't polony.
No, there was no polony, shame. Man. A leg of a drumstick. And that was it. And I thought, 20 million for this? What's going on? 20 million rand. Even David Mabuza had to stop and say, what's going on here? He was speaking in parliament saying, 20 million rand. Mm. We don't have the money. But Ace Mahashule went and did it. And
now he's permanently the Secretary General in Johannesburg, so he's got bigger fish to fry. But didn't he also, he's been fingered in some kind of horrible deal where his daughter got a special tender.
So this was in Bethlehem. Mm. There was the building of 1,000 houses for...
That's near where Mabale's people are.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't going to raise this. But,
it's a 40-minute drive from Kwaku. It is.
Mabale, thank you so much. You know, I feel close to power just by knowing you. So the people of Bethlehem are going to get houses and so forth. The initial the premier Ace Mahashule goes and makes a song and dance about it. It's all going to happen. It's all going to go. But then it doesn't happen. And then a company called Unit Al major shareholder is a certain Mr. Lee, is introduced into the deal by Ace Magashule and his MEC for human settlements at the time. And they say, no, this is the man, he's going to do it. And there's nice pictures of them, you know, what do they call it? Turning the sword or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, sword turning ceremony and boom, boom, boom. It's all go. Well, first of all, the houses are just a little bit shoddy. But Mr. Magashule doesn't declare that my daughter has 30% ownership of this business. And it goes on and...
And she wasn't the one mixing the concrete.
No, she wasn't. She sat at the back. But clearly keeping an eye out for things. Anyway, they had a target of so many houses. They've only built just over half. The houses, some of them are falling apart a bit. But basically, the 150 million rand has been paid. And 30%, I would assume, has gone to... Ace Magashule's daughter, and he never declared, she never declared, and he was the champion of this project and the champion that this company must get it. It's basically me saying Ben's company is going to do all this work, but not declaring that, you know, my daughter owns 30% of Ben's company, and I'm going to make a bit of cash out of this. That is what the past 20 years of Ace Magashule in the Free State has meant. A little something here for you, a little something there for me. As Julius Malema pointed out yesterday, a child died a week and a half ago in the Eastern Cape. And that child died from falling into a pit latrine. So we can take 20 million rand, have a party for a departing leader, but we say there's no money to build toilets in Bizana, in Limpopo. There are 24,000 schools, government schools in South Africa. 8,000 of them have inadequate toilets. But we can find 20 million rand to have a party. So I thought, you know, it's also depressing. Let me bring Ben a bottle of gin. So, you know, we can drown our sorrows right now, immediately after the show.
It's very considerate of you, yeah. Justice. Thank you.
That's great. Long weekend.
Extra yeah, happy 250 Easter.
Mils of gin needed.
Happy Easter, Justice. This is
happy
great.
Happy Easter, guys.
All right. Is George Meany here? George, come on in. Say hello to Justice. George is here from Auto Trader. We've got a little... wrap up for the week, which we do at the end of every week, and since today is Thursday and tomorrow is a holiday, we're going to wrap it up with George in the next couple of minutes. By the way, there's just over a month to go until Chance the Rapper performs live in South Africa. You can catch him along with Shane Eagle, Nadia Nakai, and Frank Casino at the Castle Light Unlocks concert at the Ticket Pro Dome in Joburg. It's all happening on the 30th of April. The next day is a public holiday, so there's no reason for you to miss out. Get your tickets now at CompuTicket for the Castle Light Unlocks concert. You don't want to miss this Castle Light Unlocks exclusive. Mm. I think Mabali's already tucking into her gift from Justice.
Yeah, she left. That's it. She left a bottle of whiskey. She left her laptop here, car keys, just the whiskey. She's gone.
She's gone onto the roof.
Or was it because I arrived?
No, it's not. No. She'll share some with you later. You just have to get into the mood. All right, so how are you, George?
I'm good, and you? I'm good.
I love seeing you because it means Friday's here, but today's like a mini Friday.
It is like a mini Friday.
What are you doing for the long weekend?
Going away.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you going to be flying, riding bikes, anything like that?
Nothing like that. I'm going to be doing as little as possible. As CS says, don't want to see outside for 4 days.
Hey, do you do those gyrocopters?
I've flown in one, and I've had the opportunity to fly one.
Yeah.
I don't have a license for one, but an instructor took me up and gave me the controls when we were up.
What are they like?
And they are a lot stiller than a fixed-wing aircraft because the blades cut the air. Yeah. You don't feel the bumps. You don't feel the bumps as much.
So you mean it's more stable?
Yes.
And
yes.
Is it quieter or is it loud?
No, you still hear the engine
open, right? You don't have a cockpit.
Some of them are closed, some of them are open. Depends on which one you want to buy. Yeah, the more expensive ones are closed.
And how high do you usually fly above the ground?
Maximum ceiling of any naturally aspirated aircraft, including the human body, is about 14,000 feet, and then you get into that situation where you can't breathe. So,
oh, right.
So that's 14,000 feet above sea level, but we generally fly at about 2,000 feet above the ground.
Okay.
Which Joburg is a 5,500 feet, so that's 7,500 feet, and that's the ceiling of what's called the TMA, where if you fly above that, you'll get yourself into a bit of trouble.
Well, other larger, yes, more vicious planes will tear you apart in the, yes, sky.
Okay. If they pass you even within a kilometer, it'll, right, turn you upside down.
Wow.
Those, okay, jets are unbelievably powerful.
It does look like fun, though. I saw a video the other day on social media, some guy in a gyrocopter. It just looked like fun.
It's a lot of fun. It's a hell of a lot of fun flying.
All right, so what's on the agenda after this very busy week?
Well, believe it or not, I don't know if you remember, last year there was a whole bunch of reports came out. England is banning diesel engines from 2040, and Germany's put a ban on diesel engines. And,
right.
You know, everybody was
going, 2040, most of us will be dead.
Exactly. Well, yeah, dead or retired. Given all of this frantic activity around diesel engines,
yeah,
some scientists have, British scientists no doubt, have come out with this new technology or system to eliminate the harmful gases from diesel engines. And this engine will be called the NOx, nitrous oxide emissions,
oh, yes,
from diesel engines, which apparently is an ammonia creation and conversion technology that converts the liquid that comes out of the exhaust into harmless gases.
Hmm. So ammonia comes out of an exhaust?
No. This turns it into an harmless ammonia.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that's interesting, because we use ammonia in all kinds of cleaning detergents. It's not a particularly pleasant smelling stuff, but it's not poisonous.
No.
It's not dangerous to the environment in the long term, and in small concentrations makes no difference.
Exactly.
And if you're turning it into nitrous oxide, which is N2O, that's also fairly innocuous. Bit of an oxidizer, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's it. So apparently the scientists have now suddenly, since the ban of diesel engines, come up with this this new technology, and it's going to be in the market in a couple of years. But I still don't see it taking on electric cars.
Well, I also think that the ultimate fuel is hydrogen, right? I mean, that's, yeah, the one that we want to use, because hydrogen, when it burns, makes only water.
Water. And that's, so it's not safe, harmful to anybody.
No. It's terrific if we could just find a way to harness that. And by the way, lots of explosive power in hydrogen. Plenty. Take a little balloon full of hydrogen, creates quite a bang.
Oh, jeez.
If you put a lit match to it. So yeah, there's power there. Yeah, we've got to figure out a way to make that the fuel of tomorrow.
Wasn't that big Hindenburg?
The Hindenburg Zeppelin, yeah.
That
was a hydrogen
fire.
Yeah, it's not a good idea to fill a bag that big with hydrogen and then
put people in it.
You know, there are also, I mean, since we're talking about this, there are speculative theories now from people who've studied that Hindenburg disaster, and they say that it might have been the frame that caught fire first, and then that ignited the hydrogen. It wasn't, in other words, the hydrogen that ignited the rest.
Yeah.
But there's, it's back in like 1918 or something now, so it's very difficult to figure out what exactly happened.
But in any scenario, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's hydrogen or whatever it is, you're sitting on a bomb when you're driving your car.
Right, you're driving with a tank full of hugely flammable liquid under you.
Oh, no.
Yes.
It's depressing.
I don't need to think about that now.
Talking about fuel, the Western Cape is looking at introducing a provincial fuel levy on top of the current fuel levy. How ridiculous is that?
They must get lost.
Hey?
Enough of this. Why are you punishing people who are productive?
It's absolutely silly. I don't see the point in the fuel levy.
I do. It's the DA is hell-bent on big government. That's what they are.
And then I don't know if you know the Ford Wildtrak, very, very popular 4x4 at the moment.
Is that because the steering wheel stays intact?
Probably.
Ford, shame they've had such a tough time. Tell me why, is there a problem?
No. So the Ford Wildtrak is very popular, but the Ford Raptor 2-liter will be built in South Africa
nice.
In the next couple of years. So it's due in 2019. And it's going to be built in the Silverton plant in South Africa. And remember, Ford announced that they're investing 3 billion rand. It's now turned out that part of it is because they want to assemble this Raptor.
Well, that kind of makes them immune to abuse now. If you put that much money into this country, we could only love
you. We should be your friends.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly.
Cougars are a thing of the past.
That is good news.
That is good news.
All right.
And then finally, it is roadblock season.
Oh, so, yeah. Trust me. I've been
stuck in one yesterday.
Three times this week.
Jeez.
The one time they breathalyzed me, I hadn't been drinking, so it was fine. Second time, they were checking licenses. And the third time, they were also checking cars for like contraband in your boot or whatever.
Oh.
So just be careful, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're everywhere. Every on-ramp and off-ramp to the highway.
Right, this weekend. Yeah. This is the major
weekend.
One. Yeah.
So a couple of things to kind of look out for. The first is you have the right to verify the authenticity of the roadblock. So you can ask the officer for identification.
Pay attention now. This is useful. What George is telling you now is the kind of stuff you really need to be aware of at a roadblock.
Without becoming antagonistic.
Yeah, don't say, where are you oaks from?
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
I had a very nice conversation with the dude, William Nickel, the other day. He said he doesn't even understand because they block the on-ramp, so it creates traffic problems.
Yeah.
And I said to him, why do you guys do this here? He's like, well, there's some dude in the office who makes the decision about where they're all going to have these roadblocks. And he said, if I had a say, I wouldn't have it here.
Yeah.
So you just you're not talking to someone who
buys into the. Yeah,
they don't work for you directly. They also have bosses who tell them what to do. Don't be impolite.
Yeah, exactly. And then if you do have an outstanding traffic fine, you don't necessarily have to be arrested unless the police can produce a copy of the warrant.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
So ask for a copy of the warrant if you have an outstanding fine. If they produce the copy of the warrant, they can detain you.
Ooh, snap.
So don't resist that because it can become worse.
Hmm.
Can become worse. And then remember that the legal limit of alcohol is 0.05 grams per deciliter. So if you do get breathalyzed, insist on the use of clean, sterile equipment if they're going to draw blood.
Hmm.
Are they allowed to draw blood?
They are.
Oh, I thought they were just...
Yes, yeah.
Oh, damn. That is a game changer. Yes.
There's a solution. Just don't drive under the influence.
There we go.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Just don't even have one beer.
Oh, now you want constable to be all about an injection and poking you. No thanks.
And then if you do end up getting arrested, you have to be told your rights immediately. You must be taken directly to the nearest police station, and you have the right to appear in court within 2 days, and you can apply for bail at the station unless you're being held for a more serious offense.
Hmm.
And you have the right to be treated professionally. So remember your rights, but do it in a polite manner.
All right. There we go. Some useful info from George.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Thanks, George.
Thank you, Gareth.
Have a happy weekend.
You too.
And happy Easter to everybody who's celebrating Easter. Melanie Bala is coming in just now, so we're going to chat to her in a moment or two. But first, let's get the un-news underway. And let me remind you, since we were talking to Justice about the gifts that he brought us this morning, who do you think the coolest man on earth is besides Justice Malala?
Oh, right. Because that's the first obvious one. Yeah,
The second coolest person on earth after Justice Malala is...
Do I have to be objective with this?
No. I'll answer it.
There's only one answer. Yeah, it's David Beckham. We've been saying this for years.
So it's Justice Malala, then David Beckham.
Ah, there we go.
He went from being a star footballer to owning his own soccer club. He married a powerful woman. He has 4 kids. He makes any hairstyle you can imagine look great. He made tattoos mainstream. It's David Beckham, and he was in South Africa to launch his own whiskey, Hague Clubman. We caught up with David and discovered a connection between him and a whiskey that breaks the rules. You can go to cliffcentral.com and download the podcast to hear in his own words why this is something that David Beckham really cares about. Though he does. And you might like the whiskey too. Hague Clubman, not for sale to persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. This weekend especially, and do what George said. Do not drink and drive.
Yeah.
All right? He's very serious about that because he knows... He hears these horror stories of people who've been arrested and worse because they were drinking and driving. Just, if you're going to drink, don't drive. If you're going to drive, don't drink. No problems.
No, not really, not rocket science.
You don't have to get into fights with anybody or anything else. All right, here's what you need to know. Ace Magashule is bidding farewell to the Free State and doing so with a 20 million rand party. People are saying it's a massive waste of money, but Ace says it matches his contribution to the province. A million for every year in charge. Nothing to complain about, really. Just like the 150 million he and his daughter have profited from RDP housing. Despite a global campaign to delete Facebook, many South Africans are choosing not to. They're just too dependent on Facebook to share dreadful attention-seeking things and spy on others without feeling like complete creeps. Zuckerberg knew this would be the case and that his platform has already impregnated the minds of many to the point of no return. And finally, Steve Smith had to leave OR Tambo Airport last night under heavy police protection. It created a messy scene as the cricketer was victim to a great deal of verbal and borderline physical abuse. It was asked why he had to suffer such treatment and couldn't use the private airport entrance, the one the Guptas got to use when they fled the country last year. No answers at this stage. All right, coming up, Melanie Bala. Right here on cliffcentral.com. It's a Thursday, but it feels like a Friday. And I see Alan Ford is already standing by to give us the unview. Oh gosh, what's wrong, Ben?
I always forget Thursday's the day of harassment in this place.
And you get harassed?
Alan can't help it. It's in his nature.
Oh, so we'll talk to Alan. He gets very upset when we aren't here live on the Thursday mornings because he likes to talk. So I'll get to sit and talk to Alan Ford as well. Melanie Bala on the way. Cliffcentral.com, good morning.
Take a seat right over there. Sat on the stairs, stay or leave.
This is Cliffcentral.com.